Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Three women come together in a rundown farm in rural South Korea. A beleaguered single mother struggling financially, a troubled daughter with an unwanted pregnancy, and a rich woman from Seoul. She's moving in with them for a while, and what brings them together? The unborn fetus. The mother wants it to go away, the daughter is struggling with internal conflicts, and the rich woman wants to take the future baby in her place. In Her Place is also the name of a new dramatic feature about family, names, order and chaos, gain and loss. It's made by Toronto writer-director Albert Shim and producer and collaborator Igor Derliacha. Their films have played internationally and garnered awards and critical praise. The movie is having its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to have the director and producer here with me in studio to tell us more about In Her Place. Hi, Albert.
Hi.
Hi, Igor.
Hi, how are you doing?
So, Albert, you're a Canadian guy from Toronto. Why did you choose to make your first feature film about three women in Korea?
Well, I guess technically this is my second feature film.
I had a
super duper micro budget feature film that I made about 5 years ago or so, and it was more of kind of like an experiment. But that film was very Canadian, let's say. We shot it in Toronto and also kind of up north in like the Prince Edward County area. So for my second film. My second first film. I was interested in kind of tapping into, I guess, more of my ethnic background, and because I'm second generation Korean Canadian, and I was born in the suburbs. I was born in Newmarket, Ontario, GTA. So I have a lot of, I guess, Canadiana in me as well. But my home was very, very. I grew up in a very, very Korean home.
Oh, okay. Korean speaking.
Korean speaking.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of wanted to not neglect that side of myself as well. So it kind of got the wheels turning in my mind about maybe kind of going to Korea to film something and kind of challenging myself, because Korean is kind of my second language. I guess I'm stronger in English. So, and it's a country that's in kind of in flux. It's very vibrant. It's very kind of volatile and energetic. So I kind of was very attracted to that. So it was seemed like something I could explore and kind of mine some interesting topics.
And what inspired it?
It's a long story, but the film actually came out of a location. So when people get a chance to see the film, it takes place mainly on one kind of secluded farm property.
Yeah, and former cattle farm?
Yeah, former cattle farm. And that was actually a farm that belonged to my extended family in Korea.
Oh, and so there is a family connection.
There is a family connection, yes. Yeah. So when I was a child and I used to spend summers in Korea, I remember playing there and kind of hanging out with the cows and kind of running around. But I guess at some point or another, they kind of abandoned the farm, and it's just been kind of sitting there wasting away. And I always thought it'd make an interesting location for a film. And I guess because I also kind of produce movies as well, I kind of had my producer hat on and thinking like, well, where can I shoot a movie kind of economically but still kind of get kind of production value or whatnot. So I always had the farm in mind, but I never really had, I guess, a story to place in it. But then I was in Korea, I was doing some writing and trying to kind of think up of ideas and writing actually a separate script.
And did you, sorry to interrupt, but did you write this script in Korean or in English?
No, actually I wrote it in English first.
Did you translate it yourself?
I didn't. I had help with the translation.
Oh, okay. Because I don't speak Korean, but the dialogue sounded correct and real and authentic.
Right. Yeah. Even when I make English language films, I really work with the actors in terms of kind of coming up with naturalistic dialogue, kind of like very improvisational dialogue sometimes, to kind of create more of a non-scripted feel, but a more naturalistic kind of sounding dialogue. So it was a process to kind of get there, but because I guess there's not a lot of Korean filmmakers that kind of employ that kind of system or that kind of style, but
right.
I think the actors really embraced that idea because it was something fresh.
So getting back to your story, sorry to interrupt in the middle. You were somewhere and you heard something.
Yes. So I was in a restaurant, actually, and there was kind of like a big table gathering kind of beside me or a couple of tables down. And it was like a very heated debate or discussion going on amongst what seemed like a large family gathering. And half the table was very much, I was able to kind of pick up on what they were talking about. And it seemed like half the table, they were talking about a person that was pregnant that was not there with them, a family member of some sort.
Right.
And half the table thought that she was faking her pregnancy. And the other half of the table thought they weren't. They were like, don't be ridiculous. Because I guess she wasn't there and she wasn't kind of showing herself and they didn't know where she was and she was being very coy or whatnot. So that kind of got me thinking about even when I was younger and growing up, my parents or other family members kind of gossiping about other, like I would hear them gossiping about, so-and-so isn't actually the real son or daughter of so-and-so, and kind of gossiping. And because I knew that the idea of like bloodlines are so important to Koreans, and I guess it's changing a little bit now, but the idea of somebody not being able to bear children was kind of seen as like you're kind of defective.
So let's talk about this. There's something called a family registry in Korea,
yes,
right?
There is.
And it follows the patronymial,
yes,
the father's name.
Yes, it does.
Down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So why are women so concerned about this?
Because everything is...
Don't they become just join the husband's line?
Right.
Or
they join the husband's line. And so when the woman can't give birth,
right,
they are perceived from the husband's side of the man's side of the family that they're kind of defective.
But even if they can't give birth, but it's the man that cannot actually impregnate the woman.
Right.
It's still the woman's fault.
Right.
It's like a cultural thing. And there's
like Henry VIII.
But it was like it's actually like that in a lot of parts of Europe back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I thought it was very interesting because this kind of thinking or mentality is still very, very, very strong and prevalent today in Korea, which is obviously a very modern country, but it's they still hold on to kind of I guess some could say like very kind of archaic kind of thinking about what can be classified as your child. Like the reason why a lot of people, because secret adoptions happen all the time in Korea, mainly because it's so shameful to adopt.
It's shameful to adopt. But common to adopt.
It's common to adopt because they have to.
So it's all done on the.
It's all done on down, the, on, yeah. on the down low.
Down
and
low.
I guess back in the day, it was very easy because families would adopt a baby and then they would kind of just move to a different town and just start their lives again. And the children would never know they were not their biological children. And they would just make new friends and family, or not family, but new friends, and kind of just start their life again. Because it would be better to start your life again in a different town than let your friends and neighbors know that your child is not actually your own, but you had to adopt it.
And if it's all about name, is this why you don't give the characters, the women in the movie, any names?
Yeah, that definitely played into it.
So that was, I'm not reading into it, that's deliberate.
Yeah, that was deliberate. Like there was, I wanted it to kind of give the idea that it's a specific story, obviously, but it's one that I think is not that specific because it's actually quite common. So I wanted to kind of make it seem like this is not a very specific story with like very specific names or anything, but it could almost stand in for anybody.
So you spoke earlier about South Korea being a country in flux. And when you look at the characters, there's a woman who's a sophisticated city woman who's from Gangnam, like Gangnam style,
yeah,
right? Like the song. And but it turns out she's one generation removed from a small town herself where her dad owns a hardware store.
Yeah.
And conversely, the woman who's a farmer, she admits she was a college student who wanted to go back to the land.
Right.
So tell me more about it being a society in flux.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because that's stuff that I kind of very, very subtly suggest things without, I guess, trying to be too overt with it. But that was definitely something that I wanted to play with, which is the idea of class and the idea of being able to move up in class. And it's something that everyone in Korea is obsessed with, I guess mainly because it's so hard to do. And this is a woman that was able to do it, but obviously she feels like it's a very, very fragile foundation that she's standing on, which is the reason why she is willing to take such extreme measures to maintain this position that she worked so hard to somehow obtain, which is she kind of married above her class, and she's obviously very smart and very determined and very driven, but it can all kind of come crumbling down because of the fact that she can't bear children. So I wanted to play with the idea of like kind of how far people are willing to go, which is something that I think
No spoilers, of course, but yeah it's it does have its extreme elements in
it. The film has its extreme elements, but just within the characters, how far they're willing to go to kind of maintain what they feel they have to kind of maintain their standing in their lives and in their families and such. So
Igor, about a year and a half ago, I interviewed you about Curvina, which has the main character returning to the Balkans looking for a lost friend, I think. Mm-hmm. And your first or second film has you returning to or going to South Korea. Is this like a rite of passage in your studio?
Yeah, we talked about this at length. No, I think we're both influenced a lot by our heritage. So there's like this constant element in our work. Some of Albert's short films also kind of dealt with his heritage. And a lot of my films, whereas he's a second generation, I'm a first generation. So I think there's a lot of sort of unresolved issues, tensions. There's also like a cultural curiosity there that kind of lends itself to telling interesting stories. Yeah.
Oh, this is another interesting story to tell. Thanks for speaking with me, Albert and Igor.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking with director Albert Shim and Igor Dolyacha about their new feature film In Her Place, having its world premiere at TIFF. Go to tiff.net for details. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.